Chantat started off by asking for the opportunity from the mother, father, guide in the Dhamma, Venerable Ajahn Ananda Kinchino, Venerable Ajahn Maha Somchai Siridhammo, and the monastic community here at Wat Mabchan. He extended his greetings to all of the laity, those joining us online from overseas, those here at the monastery. So he said, today I wish to kind of teach a bit about the Dhamma. I've been given the invitation by Ajahn Anand, has his kindness to ask me to come to give a little bit of teaching to all of you, those of you who are practicing Dhamma in this retreat. So you've been practicing for a period of time already, and there aren't too many days left. So I thought I'd give a bit of explanation and share some experiences that I had had from the beginning of my practice. So when I was training in mindfulness. And so these are kind of techniques that we can try out. You can try to put them into practice. When I first came here to ordain, I was very close. I was very lucky because I had the opportunity to be close to my teacher. And really, we all have that opportunity, that he has the kindness to teach all of us. And so he, during the first period I was here, he asked me to attend to him. So it was an opportunity to receive teachings from him about many different kinds of things. But these teachings, they don't give us benefit if we don't follow them, if we don't put them into practice. But if we do, then they give us results. And so you can listen to these experiences that I've had in case they may help you in your path of practice. They may give you some benefit as well. So when I was attending to Lumpo Anand and beginning my meditation practice as well, and it probably is not too different from all of you listening, whether you've just started practicing, whether you've been practicing for a long time already, and you've found out about these teachings, been listening to teachings of various great teachers, so like Venerable Ajahn Mun, for example, or some of his disciples. And so they teach, in order to make the mind peaceful, we watch the breath and recite Buddho along with that. And I tried that out, but I saw that it was really quite a difficult thing to do. Even though I had ordained, but sat and tried to watch the breath, the in-breath Bud, the out-breath Do, and tried to do that for maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes. But after just a little bit of time, if I wasn't going to lie to myself, then I saw that there were so many thoughts going on, and the mind was really thinking here and there and creating all kinds of things, and it was doing this without stop, to the point where sometimes I just opened up my eyes and thought, okay, this is enough now. I need to get up and do some walking. So I tried this out and was trying it for a while. But I saw that it's the nature of that is trying to make the mind peaceful, but it was thinking like this. And sometimes the mind could come into peace and there was not much thought that was going on. But in other days, it was so scattered. And I wondered, well, why is it like this? And one day I was with Lumpo Anand, and he recommended that I change the meditation word that I was using. And he gave me a reason as well. He said that in this day and age, there's so many things that we meet with, so many things we've met with already. And we think about so much. We also speak with people, and if we talk about the Dhamma, it's still proliferating. And if we talk about something which is useless, then there's even more proliferation. So he said that really Buddha is the best word to use, but for people in this day and age, it's hard to just stick with that. So try changing it out. And I asked him, well, what should I change it to? And he said, try out praising the triple gem. And so you've all probably chanted this before, heard this before. Etipiso, and Svakato, and Supatipanno, so the praise of the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha. And the first time that I chanted through that, I thought, wow, this is such a long chant, it takes so long to do this. And Buddha, it's far easier. But really, if we listen to the advice of a good teacher, it's not a waste. So we shouldn't really try that out. And what's important is that, well, they give us this advice, but we have the faith to take that advice and put it into practice as well. But whether we do that or not, it depends upon ourselves, that we have the choice. We can choose, do I do this, do I not do this? But if we really try it out, if we have that faith, like I did, then it's that advice that our teacher gives us. It's not going to lead us over the edge of a cliff, or it's not going to lead us to fall down a well. It's not going to be dangerous for us. So we should give it a go. And so I figured, well, I've ordained already, and so I have the time to do this. So I'll try it out. I'll give this a good shot. And so the next day when I woke up, and then I started chanting this, as the Tipiso chant, and went through it. And in the beginning, I thought, wow, yeah, I've got this chant in my mind all day, but there's still so many thoughts going on. There's still this proliferation happening. But at this point, you need to endure with it. If I'm going to give an example, it's kind of like we're just started off exercising, and we start working out the body, then at the beginning, it's really tiring, and we have to push through that. We have to endure with it. But I had faith in my teacher, so I thought, okay, I'll carry on chanting this. So I chanted through the praise of the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha. And as I was doing that, I thought, oh, okay, I can do this. Just carry on chanting. Just carry on going with it. And even if the mind is trying to think about other things, I'll just endure with that. Carry on chanting. And so with the practice of the Dhamma, we can observe that it's kind of like we're cooking, and our teacher, Rinpo Anan, he's a good chef who can cook very delicious food. And so he gets us to try out a dish ourselves. But that depends upon us, that he can tell us what to do. He can tell us the ingredients that you put this in, about this much and that, about that much. But we have to do that. We have to really observe that process and try it out ourselves to be sincere in it. And as we carry on doing it, then we will experience the results of that, that the food we're cooking will get better and better. That's just like our hearts become better, the thinking reduces. And so as I carried on chanting this throughout the days, throughout the months, carried on going with it. And then I observed that I was able to do it. And the chanting that I did could increase a bit. I started off with 50 rounds of that. And then when I got to the evening chanting, then I realized that things were better. So when you try this out, that's a good point for you to try to observe whether or what results it's giving you. That when you come to your formal meditation practice, is it going to improve? Are things better or not? So for me, I looked and I saw that the thinking was a lot less. It was still there, but it was less. And I thought, okay, this works. This is something that I can use. It's giving me results. This chanting through the praise of the Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, which meant that there was this chanda, so this wholesome desire to do it. Because I could see how, having tried it out already, that I'd gotten results from it. So I decided then, right, well, I'll chant at least 108 times throughout the praise of the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha. And so I carried on chanting that. When I woke up, I started chanting. And there's a little bit of advice I wish to give here. Because if you try to do this, then in the beginning, what people find is that when someone comes to talk with us, then it can be quite easy to feel annoyed by that. But we have to understand that they don't understand. They don't know what we're doing. And, you know, it's okay to just put down that chant for a little bit, you know, talk. And through that, you know, our peace, it's not going to drop a huge amount. And then when we're done with the conversation, we just pick up the chant again. So having been able to go through that 108 times each day, I saw clearly that when I came to the evening chanting, that the mind was a lot less distracted than it was. In the beginning, there was all different kinds of thoughts going on. And when I was doing the chanting, you know, my mind wasn't really with the chanting. You can see with you that perhaps you read the book or you've memorized the chanting, but oftentimes the mindfulness isn't really there. The mind's off thinking about all different kinds of things. But having gone through a Sitipiso chant throughout the day, then when coming to the evening chanting, I really got this feeling that, wow, the Buddha's amazing. And my heart really opened up to that. And so I could see clearly how the distractedness and the thoughts, they reduced and even disappeared at some points. This gave me great encouragement. And so that rains retreat period, I decided to not speak for 3 months. And then this gave me the chance to be just chanting this recollection of the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha. Because I could see clearly that, this advice that I've been given by my teacher, this is something that I really can do and something that really does give me results. But it's something that we need to put in the causes for that first in order to get the results. And that cause is continuous mindfulness. And this will allow our peace to grow and grow, allow for the heart to become brighter, become more joyful. So when we do that, then we get this clear understanding of, well, this is how we need to practice. that we need to give a foundation for our minds. And just like how a house needs a strong foundation. And then upon that, we can build a structure that isn't going to just collapse. And so it's the same for our hearts, that they need a strong foundation for them as well. And then if we are chanting through this itipiso and we start feeling tired, then it's okay to just come to be reciting Butto, because the mind, it's not thinking, it's not proliferating here and there already. So the results we get from this depends upon our efforts. Whether we put in a lot of effort, whether we put in a little bit, how much we do. But we need to accept first that meditation, the cultivation of the mind, it's the most difficult thing in the world. But we have this advice that we've been given by our teachers. And so, like chanting, for example, that if we want for the heart to come to peace, then if we practice like this, then we'll be able to do it. And as we do it, and we gain that realization that we can do it, then we feel that this is something that isn't so hard, and something that I'm able to do because we've received the results from it already. And then we get the encouragement to do more, and our mindfulness starts becoming more continuous. And so then we get this encouragement to try to bring more energy to our mindfulness and to be practicing, reciting these meditation words or chants all throughout the day. Because that mindfulness has become better. And we see how, well, through that mindfulness, a way that we can observe with clarity what results that is giving us is when we return to the things that we were with before. So like now, you're on this retreat, but when you go back into your normal life and you're with, you know, people who don't practice the Dhamma, you go back into your families, with your family, with the colleagues, you have to meet with all different kinds of things, be involved with different kinds of things. But what you can observe is that the heart, perhaps, is more at ease. When you chant, just any chant that you like, so it could be a itipiso, it could be something else, but when you have that as your something that you can rely upon, then you feel, I've got a refuge now. So even though you may be with things which were once difficult, but now there's this energy to the heart through the sincerity of one's practice of chanting. You really feel like that energy is there within your own mind. And get able to gain an understanding of all of the things around you. You see the reality, the truth in those things. You know, that there really isn't anything there. It's just stuff that comes up, it stays for a bit, it passes away. And just following its own causes and conditions. It's not something that's really related to me. So the things that used to cause our suffering, and we feel like within our hearts that we just don't want to get stirred up by those things anymore. And we think, well, what's the point? What's the point of getting all involved in this stuff anymore? You know, before we may have thought, well, You know, why is this person like this, and why is that person like that, why are they acting in this way? But reality is that it's just nature for things to be that way. And so if we begin to have mindfulness, then we're able to see the reality of the things around us. So we can see how these are just natural, normal things. It's like if you came to Thailand and you came to visit the seaside area of Bang Sang, and you came and you thought, well, why is it like this? You know, why are the chairs set out like this? Why is the water like this? Why does it have waves like this? And if you did that, then you'd just be suffering. But if you get energy to your mindfulness, this can help you to see that it's just nature, that these things are just following their own natural course, that it's been like this for a long time already, that I'm not able to change it, because this is just its nature. This is something that I just can't change. But the thing that I can change is my own heart. And when we understand that, then we don't suffer over this. At the very least, we have happiness in our hearts, that we're not creating all these different kinds of issues. We're not getting involved in things that just don't involve us. Because we see that those things, they just follow their own natural course. So when we begin to sincerely practice, that, so like right now, you have the time to be on this retreat, and there aren't many days left, it's just 3 days. So you can really try this out sincerely for the next 3 days. And really try to keep your mindfulness with the chant, with the meditation phrase or word. So you can pick up Itipiso, for example, and through the next 3 days, just give it your best, with all the energy, the effort that you have. And you can think, well, I don't have a lot of time left on this retreat, so I really try this out. You know, I've spoken with other people a lot already in my life, so right now I'll try to speak little. And if you're at home, then you can ask the people that you live with permission to not speak for the next 3 days, if it's not necessary that you won't talk, and just try sincerely chanting this throughout that time. And even though the time that you have is not much, if the sincerity that you have is great, then it's possible for incredible results to arise. It's because it's just not sure, that really it depends upon our sincerity, how much we set our hearts on it. And like I've said, you know, practicing Dhamma, it's like exercising. In the beginning, we may feel like it's very difficult. You know, maybe we go for a run or lift weights, and we feel a little achy and tired. But at the very least, we're going to get a strong body from that. Maybe we'll get some muscles as well. So in exercise, we need to use our powers of patience, endurance, forbearance. And that will help us to get a strong body, to get good health. So we can use that example now for trying this practice out in these last 3 days. Just give it all one's effort. Because if we can really get a grasp of the fundamentals and the principles of the practice, and then when we go to live our lives out in the world and have to meet with all different kinds of things, at the very least it'll help us to not suffer too much over those things. Because we'll have a lot of mindfulness there within ourselves. Like if we hear about different kinds of news, then we think, well, this that's just not of benefit to me. I think that, well, if this isn't related to me, if it's not about my own safety, then I'm not going to pay attention to it. That we just pay attention to the things that are actually important to us. When we meet with all different kinds of things, then we just get the feeling that that's just how it is. And there's no need to create an issue out of it. Or if we hear about some news that maybe we feel like we're going to get sad about it, then we can contemplate that, well, this being has the karma to be like this, to experience this. And then through this, the peace, the ease that we feel in the hearts becomes better and better. Or maybe we meet with people that we really, really don't like. And you know, before there could be a lot of anger towards them. But now we feel like when the heart has energy and has power to it, then we feel it's easier to forgive them. And maybe initially that we felt like we really don't like this person. You just see their face and you think, oh, I was really annoyed by this person. I don't like them. But when we start having mindfulness, then we can forgive them more easily. And we start thinking to ourselves, well, what's the point in hating? That this person's a person just like me. They need to suffer the same suffering that I. So what's the point in hating them? Why do it? Maybe they've acted in ways that aren't nice towards us, but still we train ourselves to forgive them all the same. And when we're able to do that, then we feel an ease within our hearts, that we're not suffering about or with the people that we meet with in this world. And then our lives just become easier. It's like we gain freedom, that we're not suffering due to the world around us, you know, the things that we come into contact with that we don't like, that we don't get all averse and kind of upset about them. They're able to have mindfulness constantly with ourselves. So we try in this way, but we also have to see that it's a steady process, that all things, they take their time. And this is something which doesn't come easily. You know, that anything, if we're going to succeed in that, it's going to take some effort to succeed. And that's even more so for the highest thing, which is this peace of mind, the abandoning of greed, hatred, and delusion. It's not just a walk in the park, it's not just something really easy. But if we're going to say it's difficult, well, it's not difficult either. Really, it depends upon us. It depends upon our belief in the Buddha, the Dhamma, the awakened teachers. And upon us thinking, okay, well, I'll try this out. They've given me this advice already, so I'll put that into practice, following what I'm able to do, following the energy that I have. And just that is enough already, just to do that. And so may you really have faith in practicing in that way, and have faith and also practice. Because sometimes we feel that, well, I've done so much already, but I'm just not getting much out of this. But what you need to understand is that when we begin to practice the Dhamma, that sometimes it gives us the results that we want and sometimes not. And for myself, when I first came to practice, that I was told that I shouldn't expect to get results, that it's just normal that sometimes there will be peace and sometimes there won't be peace. But it's my duty to just put in the causes, having faith already, you know, just do it. Just do those causes and the results will come up by themselves. That there's no need to expect, no need to want things, because it'll follow its natural course. And when we train and practice, then the results will come up by themselves. Just like how a tree, when we put in the causes, then it grows by itself. And so having heard these teachings, as we have from these great teachers, and they've explained many different things, and as we practice, then we steadily gain a greater understanding of them. And so may you be sincere in putting those teachings into practice. And so lastly, that I wish for you to have happiness and growth, both in the world and in the Dhamma. And may you find freedom in your lives. So may you have happiness in your lives, be able to forgive all of the people around you. And may you have the opportunity to train in mindfulness a lot, because this is the thing that will allow for your life to grow and to flourish. And there's nothing better than this. And so I will end my talk here, and may all of you grow in blessings.